Hello and welcome back to Season 6, Episode 5 of Jet Lag, the Game, the Layover Podcast, exclusive to Nebula with Ben, Adam, and Scotty. Nailed it!
Hello!
You did it perfect that time, Sam. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Woo! Was that Ira Glass hosting the podcast now?
Yep.
I tried to very quickly think of who the, like, Michael Jordan of podcasting was, and the answer I came to was Ira Glass.
It is Ira Glass. It's Ira Glass.
What about Michael Barbaro? I guess he's canceled now, right?
I think a lot of people would say Joe Rogan.
Is he canceled?
I think Michael Barbaro was canceled of The Daily.
Why'd he get canceled?
I don't remember. I can't keep track.
He is always like...
We can't be saying this on the podcast if you have no basis.
No, I could have sworn he was canceled. We need like a cancellation database. There's a business idea.
Someone get to work.
Someone's going to cancel one of us if we go too hard on canceling people.
Yeah. Anyways, hard pivot. A little behind the scenes. Scotty's in China right now.
I am?
Yeah.
Well, when this comes out, I will be.
Like now. Not now.
I will be.
Now.
I will be in China now.
But that's now. Yeah.
I will be there now.
If you are listening to this when it's released, you could be listening to this years from now.
Yes.
There's no telling where Scotty is.
It's true.
Yeah. Anyway, but if you're listening to it
now,
in the now, as in the now when it releases, Scotty's in China.
Yes.
Filming. For unrelated stuff.
Well, for Strange Parts, yeah. But not jet lag.
Unrelated to jet lag.
Yes.
Unless we want to, that'd be a hell of a way to accidentally spoil the next season.
Yes.
By saying it in the podcast.
I have pitched very strongly jet lag mainland China because trains in mainland China are amazing and chaotic and awesome.
It would be great.
They're both fast and wild.
Just the legality of it.
And it's a little tricky.
Work visas and all that.
It is tricky shooting in China. Yeah.
But that's all to say we are recording this episode way in advance to be able to have Scotty on. So one interesting dynamic is like, usually, Scotty has seen the full episode before we do an episode of the podcast. In this case, Scotty has seen the assembly cut, or rather the early draft of the episode, which is lacking pretty much anything but the footage itself, right?
It has some music in it.
It does not have voiceover.
Yeah.
No music, no motion graphics, no maps.
There's some text on screen that says, we'll put voiceover here to explain what happened.
Well, unfortunately, this is probably the most voiceover heavy episode ever.
Yeah, hilariously, this is the episode with the most voiceover of any episode in the history of jet lag.
So that's all to explain why Scotty might have an above average number of questions about what's happening on Adam and my side.
Yeah, I'm pretty clear on Ben and my side of what happened. But Adam and Sam, I'm very fuzzy on the strategy. And I was very fuzzy at the time. At the time, I will say that I was very perplexed. And this is the second time it's happened in this season. I was very perplexed as to how you did not get tagged yet. You went hours and hours and hours where you were like, I can't move. Adam's got me pinned down. And then I would ask you, like, are you tagged? And you're like, no, not yet. And I couldn't figure out why. And now I have some semblance of an understanding why, but not a full one.
So the audience will have a little bit more of an understanding, but it's pretty complicated.
That's what I keep hearing.
So we'll kind of do the thorough explanation.
Yep.
So basically, I was at Niigata. And when I got back to Niigata, I had not had a lot of time to research my return strategy because it was very timing dependent. And because there were a lot of infrequent lines around there.
Yep.
So like I had understood like what the line options were, but I knew that I'd have to just see when I was there what timing would work out. And what became clear pretty quickly was that I didn't have a lot of good options because Adam was already on the Shinkansen line towards me. And, you know, there's only the one Shinkansen line heading back to Tokyo. And that is so much more massively faster than every other train line. Because all the other train lines, not only are they physically slower, but they make a bajillion stops.
Yeah.
So they just go so slow. So I kind of had a half option. There was kind of a stretch of regional lines that was along the coast. Because Niigata, the city where I got the flag, it is on this northern coast. And the midpoint line was down that coast by like less than 100 miles. It was not physically far down that coast. The problem was that the train lines that followed that coast were really, really slow. And what Adam could do was basically get to the other end, get to that midpoint at Joetsu, and cut me off pretty easily with the speed that the Shinkansen line gave. There were also a lot of lines cutting in from the Shinkansen line to the coast. So he could also, basically, wherever I went along the coast, there were multiple options for him to cut in from the Shinkansen to me on the coast. beyond that, there were not a lot of other options. There were some really bad options that involved crossing the entire country over to the other Shinkansen line.
Oh.
The Shinkansen line that we had taken.
That's interesting.
Up to Sendai. But that would have taken like 4 hours to get across to the other Shinkansen line. Because like were like tiny train lines stretching through the mountains that only left every few hours. So Adam would have easily been able to return to Tokyo and get to that other Shinkansen line in time. So it kind of have just delayed the inevitable. So it didn't really seem to make sense.
So you now have walked through all of the things that did not work.
Mm-hmm.
And I maybe will pop in just because I have a lot of practice explaining this now, having written the VO in the edit.
Before you do that, Adam, I want to ask, did you understand all of these options at this point? Like, had you gameplayed this out?
I figured out the option that worked pretty quickly. And so yeah. I didn't really spend a lot of time considering the other options. I found the option that worked.
That would work for Sam.
That would work for Sam.
Yeah, okay.
I identified that. And I just assumed that that was what he was going to do.
Yep.
But the thing was, and this is the complication of it, and as you see in the episode, I figure out half of it, and then I figure out the other half. So let me walk you through it, Scotty. And for those listening to the podcast, this will hopefully be a good reminder and or expansion of it.
I've got a big map on my screen to visualize.
Yeah, it. I'm going to be using my hands, but hopefully for the podcast, it'll be fine. So think about it like this. Sam had two options to get back. One was to go from Niigata to a place called Nagaoka and then transfer to a regional line that would take him over the line to Joetsu on something called the Joetsu regional line. And that would not take that long. He had a good connection. The line wouldn't take that long. It would be a good way to do it.
And crucially, I would add to that, the frequency was at a point where the next one would have been for like an hour or so later. So you could not have caught up.
Well, and it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, if I had been on a train after you, there would have been no way for me to jump you anyway. So, you know, it didn't matter.
Well, there was a transfer, but the transfer was safe.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, so Sam had one option. Go down from Niigata to Nagaoka on the Shinkansen, get on the Joetsu line, the regional line, and go over the line. That would be a great option. Now, the problem was, at Nagaoka, where he would have to transfer onto the Joetsu line from the Shinkansen, he was going to have to wait there for 15 minutes. And in that time, I, on my northbound Shinkansen, would arrive at Nagaoka and tag Sam before he could get on the train, right? So you think to yourself, oh, well, that doesn't work then, right? Because I'll get there, I'll beat him there before he can transfer. But, and this is the part that is weird, and this is the key to Sam's whole plan. Sam has another option. His other option is just go on a southbound Shinkansen over the line. Now, of course, you would think he can't do that because I'm going to block him. But the way the timing works out is very interesting. So there are two stations right next to each other, Nagaoka and Urasa. Urasa is south of Nagaoka. I'm going to arrive south of Sam, one stop away from him on the Shinkansen. And I think it was like 11:43, okay? And I'm going to need to stay on that train, right? So I can go up to Nagaoka and stop him from making that transfer onto the regional line, right? Now, the trouble is, my train will leave to go do that 1 minute before Sam has to make the decision of whether or not to get off his Shinkansen and go south or transfer. Right. So what Sam was going to be able to do was if I went north to stop him at Nagaoka, he would have 1 minute to see that, stay on his Shinkansen and jump me going opposite directions on the same line and then make his merry way south. And of course, if I stayed at Urasa to prevent this from happening, he would just get off at Nagaoka and go on that regional line and I wouldn't be able to stop him. And this was his flawless plan. That could not be beaten, or so he thought.
It seems like a pretty flawless plan to me.
Asterisks. Yep, until you remember towers.
Right.
Real pain in the ass.
Yeah, I feel like this episode, we bared the brunt of some serious tower action.
Yeah, I mean, also last round.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just kept, like, forgetting about towers as an option. And so I don't think it even really crossed my mind that Towers could throw off this plan. What was clear, and I think was hopefully clear in the footage, was like, I knew that this was such a complicated thing. It feels less complicated when you watch it, but like in my mind in the moment, it was like a massively complicated thing. And I kept having to like rehash to myself what the move was to make sure I remembered it. And it was the level of complexity where like, I knew there is a very likely chance that I am missing something about it. And so I think I tried to make that clear on camera to make sure that it would be less of an ego bruise when it inevitably went wrong. And obviously it did. I mean, that tower, that killed it, which is so disappointing because the plan aside from that totally worked.
Well, but the beauty of how it worked out, of course, is that the trap tower was the perfect tower to pull because it is the only tower that you do not have to inform your opponent of.
Yep.
So it created a situation, of course, where I was able to figure out Sam's plan, right? Because it was interesting because his plan was an optionality plan. He was only going to go south if I went north, right?
I understand.
But the fact that I could secretly drop a tower and then go north, making him believe his plan had succeeded, only for it to fail completely, was one of the most satisfying pieces of strategy choreography that I've ever experienced in the game.
I'm pretty impressed by both of you.
Yep.
You can see the moment on my, because the thing was when I pulled a tower, what I was hoping for was a tower that would have a large radius that would maybe include both stations. And like, I was like, maybe that's going to be how I'm able to fix this or something. And then I pull the trap tower. And at first I was like, oh no, this has a really small radius. And I was like, if I get off at Urasa and wait for Sam, right, I'm in trouble. And then I have that light bulb moment of I can leave it behind secretly and continue on. And I mean, I will say in the edit, I hope people understood it because like we try so hard to make it clear in the edit because it is so complicated, but it also is so satisfying once you see how it all works, like to watch it all play out.
I'm super impressed. I didn't fully understand that watching the assembly cut that I got, and definitely impressed both with Sam for figuring it out, but also Adam for figuring out what his options were and being able to put a monkey wrench in it.
And what's really funny is, and I mean, this is pretty clear in the footage, but it's like, as you can see, I figure out half of Sam's plan and I'm like, oh, I'm all set. And then like at the last minute, I figure out the other half.
Yeah.
Like I figure out the other half with like, I'm maybe like 8 minutes away from Urasa where I'm going to have to like pull this maneuver and I pull the tower. So like, we're having to do a lot of thinking very quickly.
Yeah,
it was definitely one of those moments where it's like an overwhelming amount of just like thinking. Jet lag has a way of creating those moments. I mean, it definitely reminds me of the moment in Tag when we were like rushing to decide whether to stay on or get off that train when going after Ben. That was like the kind of only similar level of like strategy intensity and time compression that I think we've had in jet lag.
Yeah, but I would say this was more complicated.
Definitely more complicated.
Yeah, they were both daunting. Hard to compare, but yeah.
But I would say that like this was, and not to, you know, talk it up too much, but like this to me like exemplifies what I love about jet lag. And I think it's easy to forget it sometimes. Like these are just like train lines and schedules that were designed so like people can get to work and stuff. And it's just like, it's so funny that like, it just so happens that the exact configuration of these train lines and these timetables leads to these like super intense, interesting, strategic scenarios.
Yep.
When that's so not what they're designed for. Like in the game of basketball, every interesting situation that happens in that game happens as a result of like everything in the game is designed for the game. We're taking something that wasn't designed for games at all and hijacking it into a game. And when you end up in a situation where like this thing that exists for mundane, unrelated to game reasons ends up playing exactly into the most interesting possible like game outcome, that's when I'm like, jet lag rules.
Yeah. And just like 1 minute of difference in the timetable that they decided on for that train would have been the difference between an amazing sequence like this hopefully was, and just like Adam coming and tagging me without me having any option at all.
Exactly.
Basically, which have been really boring. Yeah, it's amazing how that happens. But I will say I was very happy with where I was forced off the train. You might remember last episode on the podcast, I mentioned that like I loved the views coming on the train journey north. And I was careful with how I worded that because I didn't want to spoil that I ended up popping out here in Urasa. But like this spot was so cool looking. And I remember I'd like been looking out the window specifically in this spot on the way up and being like, wow, this town looks awesome. It's surrounded by mountains. There's like a little ski hill over there. And it was like a kind of cloudy, rainy-ish day. It was just like so picturesque.
I think round three was definitely the most picturesque of the rounds in terms of what I saw. Mm-hmm. And Ben and I definitely got a really pretty train ride up this green valley filled with bamboo and trees and all sorts of other really cool stuff.
Yep. So,
yeah, I really started to enjoy the scenery in round three. Whereas like round one and two for me were mostly urban.
Yeah. But speaking of y'all's side, we should pivot to y'all's side because we kind of handed off at this point in the episode to y'all getting ready to run towards flag number two.
Well, you guys have this thing happen. Oh, and Scotty, I guess you at the assembly. You know, we have this whole section of you and Ben that gets glossed over in voiceover because it's just so complicated.
It's so complicated and it's all kind of silly. But basically, and you'll remember this.
Yeah.
You are like tracking me around Tokyo Station. And so I leave to try and throw you off.
Well, I'm just walking with you around Tokyo Station.
Yeah.
Quizzing you. And I wanted to bring up, if I remember at that point, you were like, yeah, Sam did this to me yesterday, which I don't think ever made the cut. Am I forgetting the timing on this?
Yeah, it just kind of gets glossed over in the cut.
Yeah.
What you had said, which I think is funny, is you said you're really different when you do this than Sam is, because Sam just followed me around silently with the camera in my face and you're playing 20 questions. I thought that was pretty amusing.
Yeah, you are certainly a more talkative opponent than Sam. But I grew tired of your antics, so yes, I went back to my territory. I think you were confused, so you started to go finish your Yuruchara challenge.
Yep. Which I don't know exactly when I pulled that. I'm not sure it's currently in the assembly cut, but
it's covered in VO.
Covered in VO.
Because you actually, Scotty, neglected, unfortunately, to film yourself pulling that card.
I tried. I'm sure I tried.
There's one clip where it's clear that that was the clip that you were pulling it, but you took a photo instead.
Oh, cool.
Oh, is that what happened?
That is what happened.
Real professional.
So when I saw you in Akihabara, I was like, oh, I'm going there on my way back. I might as well pop out and try and get Scotty. And as soon as I like looked out the window and saw what it looked like at the, I was like, oh, there's no chance. I would never be able to catch up.
It's a maze. It's an absolute maze.
It's a total maze. And like all the buildings are like, you know, 8 floors and they're all malls. Like there's no way I would have ever caught you out there.
Whereas I was convinced that you were chasing me and went again on the strategy that I'm willing to suffer more. And so I thought the whole time that I was taking you on an adventure through the city. And it took me a while to realize that, in fact, no, you had not really left the station.
Yeah.
I think I even at that point tried to introduce a new segment to the show, which is an exercise themed show called The Pain Zone. I don't know if that ever surfaces. But.
Oh, yes. It gets a brief mention at the beginning of the next episode.
Does it? Okay.
Oh, right. It's the beginning of the next episode.
There is this really funny thing. And like, we don't include it just because it's all so kind of confusing. And we just kind of are trying to get through this because also none of it matters in the end.
Yeah.
So we try to get to the part of your and Ben's storyline that does matter.
Ben never chases me. So it's all for nothing.
Yeah. Well, there's this funny part where you think Ben is coming after you. And you're like being really sassy to the camera, talking to him. You're like, feel that burn, Ben.
Yes.
Get those thighs going. And Ben is just like, yeah, I'm not going after Scotty.
Yeah. Look, we film for redundancies. You know, the clips don't always line up. So then I went and I knocked out my challenge before you were able to get me because I was able to do it really quickly at that one. That market was in Shimbashi Station, which this is also like a thing. Again, that is in Japan that like you would never see at like an Amtrak station where like there'll just be like a grocery store attached or like a million other stores and like you could do all your grocery shopping at the train station.
I vaguely remember something about like the Tokyo metro system being like one of the world's biggest landlords or something.
Oh,
yeah.
And like that being how they make a ton of their money.
Interesting.
Because of course, like, because it's on the metro, it gets a ton of foot traffic.
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of the details, but basically I think the deal is they make a lot of their like operating revenue from rent of stores and stuff. Anyway, it's a little off track, pun intended.
I buy it. It makes me wonder why that isn't the case other places, because it makes a lot of sense.
I'm going to posit that American transit policy might not be the most logical.
Yeah. Whoa, hot takes here on our podcast.
Controversial.
Don't at me.
Well, it's funny because, like, on the other hand, America's airports are full of stores.
That is true.
Not useful ones.
Bad ones.
Bad ones.
I could rant about that for ages. Hey, I thought we didn't want airline logistics. You know what's some bull bleep? The fact that
we curse on this podcast all the time.
I don't, because I'm a child of God. And the reason I don't is because we don't bleep it in the podcast, or sometimes do. But anyways, American airports, which are overwhelmingly, almost all of them are run by the local governments, counties, cities, whatever. They give monopolies to airport concession vendors. They like literally will grant monopolies to these concession vendors. And like the Starbucks in the airport, it's not Starbucks. It is this concession vendor, which licenses the brand and operates under that monopoly with massively jacked up prices that, of course, they feed back into these corrupt Port Authority of New York style airport authorities. And it's complete and utter, I'll say it, bullshit. Could be a whole Wendover video. Anyways, don't get me started.
Yeah, you were ranting to me about this last time we were at an airport. If you're ever wondering what it's like to travel with Sam, just put on this podcast while you're walking through the airport, and it's pretty much the same thing.
There's a lot of interesting facts.
There are a lot of interesting facts, more than I thought there were, but there are a lot of them.
It's always like he can tell the future, because he always is like, oh, the flight's going to be delayed. And I'm like, what? And he's like, well, the flight that is going to be the plane that we're on 4 hours from now took off late from Miami. You can see on Flight Radar 24. So our flight's going to be delayed.
Well, that's pretty basic.
And I'm like, oh, okay, great. Or he'll be like, yeah, no, it's not going to be a problem. The fog isn't bad enough for a delayed takeoff.
The man knows planes.
I travel a lot. I learn the tricks, learn the stuff. It does have an effect. Like I'm able to navigate delays and stuff more better because you know the things and like what airports, like for example, don't transit through Denver Airport in the afternoon in the summer.
Yep.
It's bad.
Thunderstorms.
It always has thunderstorms. Yeah. Yeah. And same with like Texas. Try to avoid like Texas airports in the summer, especially in the afternoons.
Thunderstorms and tornadoes.
DFW, you know what that stands for?
Don't fuck with.
Nope. That too. But doesn't fly wet. Does not operate. That's what they say. I didn't make that up. Other people made it. Anyways, what were we talking about? The Amazing Race?
I was on my way to Kofu.
Yes.
To get the second
the infamous
flag.
Kofu.
And I didn't think that Scotty was going to be able to get to Shinjuku fast enough to get the next, because there were trains every half hour to Kofu. And I thought he was going to be delayed enough that he would be an hour behind me. But then he made the next train. And so he was only a half hour behind me.
I was pretty pleased about
and
that.
And that was tough. That was tough for me.
Killer.
I was very pleased about that.
But I do think we need to pivot back to the other POV if we're following episode chronology.
Yeah. So heading back to the north of the country.
I'll say, like, I was stuck at Urasa. And because of the lightning tower, like, statistically, I was going to get tagged based on odds, because the next Shinkansen was not for an hour. The next train full stop was not for 45 minutes. So there was an above 50% chance that I was going to get tagged.
I can do the math here. Let me do the math here.
Okay, go do the math.
You would have to roll it 6 times.
I think 5 in the end with the train I took.
All right, 1 second. This is like the one thing I remember from statistics.
This is thrilling content. Adam's doing math.
He's not even drunk.
You had a 60% chance of getting tagged by the lightning tower.
Oh, it's a little lower than I thought, but I guess that's because I took the early train around the Shinkansen. But like, I was sort of figuring I was going to get tagged. So initially I was like barely even thinking about my next move, but then the luck was on my side. So there were basically 2 options. Either I took the regional line north that I ended up taking, and then there were a couple options based on that. I could have actually, for what it's worth, I could have taken that north and confidently gotten onto one of the train lines that crossed the entire country to the other side, all the way to like Fukushima and like back on the other Shinkansen line, it would have taken me past the end of the day, actually. It would have taken me until like 5:30 because it was like a 3.5 hour long train. And it had the same problem as last time we discussed that, where I would just pop back onto the Shinkansen. And by that time, Adam would have been able to get on that Shinkansen. He would have been able to get to the other side of the country. So it wouldn't have really bought me much.
Right. Well, this is the ping pong thing.
Yeah.
And this was identified in playtesting of like, there are a lot of regional lines that sort of run along the Shinkansen routes. But if you try to take them, the Shinkansen is so fast and it's frequent enough that you can just hop back and forth on it and trap the person inside of that like area over and over and over again. And then usually yeah. you'll catch a break and you can get them.
Yeah. But to be clear, this was one that was crossing from one coast of the country to the other coast of the country. But it was crossing basically from this Shinkansen line, the Shinkansen line that we were kind of around, to the other one on the other side of the country, the one that Scotty and I had taken the other day. But it didn't seem like it really got me much. So this was a moment that kind of got a bit buried. So to be honest, I didn't have like a very strong plan at this point. But the one move that seemed like it would at least buy me some time was to take this train north. And then what seemed to happen, and I think this is pretty clear in the episode, what seemed to happen was that Adam, realizing that, because this was a regional line that took me to the station that Adam was at that moment, which was the next Shinkansen station up. But this regional line basically did a bunch of different small towns between the two stations,
yeah.
ending up where Adam was at that moment. The question was, would Adam get back on that Shinkansen south? And it seemed like the answer should have always been yes, because there wasn't much reason for him not to. Or would he wait for me since I got on that line? For some reason, the tracker was delayed a little bit. So it looked in the moment like Adam had not gotten in the Shinkansen like 2 minutes after he should have. So seeing that, I had looked in advance and like I thought I had the time to sprint back to Urasa Station, the Shinkansen station, and catch that Shinkansen that Adam seemingly had not been on back to Tokyo. So that's why I got off one station after Urasa Station. And I was about to start beelining it back until the moment I saw the tracker move. And that's basically where it fell apart, which was a bit disappointing. But like, to be honest, I don't know what I would have done anyway after that. It kind of, I think, again, would have just delayed the inevitable. So I don't think it was a big deal in the end.
Right. Well, yeah, potentially. Well, there also, and this got completely cut out of the episode, because the truth was I went south. And if you had stayed going north, there was a Shinkansen in like 15 minutes and I could have taken that back north and I would have ping-ponged you. But there was a period of time where I didn't see that train and I thought that you could make it north on the regional before I could get on a Shinkansen back. And I got really freaked out about it. And I actually bought another tower and it turned out to be a vampire tower. And all of that is cut out because I was completely wrong and it's confusing and it doesn't matter. But you'll notice at the beginning of next episode, you'll notice I will have a vampire tower and we'll explain when I got it. But that's all cut out. But there's footage of me being like, oh my gosh, Sam's headed north on the regional and I can't get back on the Shinkansen. And so like I am screwed. And as promised, I think I promised this in the ad read, I'm now going to explain why actually it was really smart for me to run to the station that Sam was at and that I couldn't actually have taken the train, which is essentially a similar thing to what Sam's plan was, which is if I had waited and taken that train headed north to your station, there was a southbound Shinkansen timed such that the minute that I got on the train headed towards you, you could have sprinted back to Urasa Station and gotten there and gotten on a Shinkansen before I could get to you.
And you clearly knew this all the time, right?
Now, I'm not saying that my brain knew it, but I like to think that my heart knew it.
Okay.
And this game is about heart, people. It's not about brains. It's about heart.
No, well, what happened, there wasn't really any way to make this clear, but like what happened was, you know, I went to the station you were at on Google Maps and I looked at the departure board. And I saw, okay, there's one train headed south at this time. And then there's a train headed north, like, you know, a half hour later. And I was like, well, I just need to get to him before that train headed north. Of course, I did not piece together that the train that was headed north was going to come from the station I was at. Because I wasn't looking at that. I was only looking at his station's departure board. So I was like, well, I got to get to him so he doesn't take that northbound train. And you know what? You did get tagged. So who's the real winner?
Yep. But I think by this time, it started to become clear to Scotty and I that time was increasingly on our side.
Yeah.
Because, like, we were getting to the point where, like, we already knew that by the time I would have gotten back to Tokyo, it was basically the end of the day. So it was clear that, like, you kind of only have one shot at a really far flag.
One shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted.
Yeah. In a given day. So, like, while it seemed like, you know, there's a whole day left in round three, that's not actually that much defense, especially if tags happen. Because, you know, if you think about it, let's say Adam tags me at, I think you ended up tagging me, Adam, at about 2:30. Does that sound right?
It's a dentist's favorite time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then by the time we got back to Tokyo, it was like 4:30. So, you know, if I were to go back to the same flag, I would not get there until like 9 a.m. or so the next, I mean, it basically would have reset to exactly where we started this day. Yeah. It would have taken me just as long. And what's clear is, like, if I had gotten tagged, if I went back to this flag the next day, keeping in the conditional, no spoilers, that nothing I'm saying here is reflective of what ends up happening necessarily in either way or whatever. Anyways, if I were to go back to the same flag and get caught once again, I would not have had another opportunity to come back to this flag in the next day. So basically, considering how big these movements are, I think Scotty and I started to understand that we could sort of start to pivot to just like the obstruction strategy. And that's what you see us start talking about on camera when I'm sitting there and realizing all of this. But okay, so anyways, so Adam, you eventually catch up to me, and like this station that I popped out at was just delightful.
Well, we had a delightful little time there.
What station was this?
Yairo, Y-A-I-R-O.
Okay. So just north of Urasa on the regional.
That's correct.
Yeah, literally one stop. But it was like just like this small, tiny platform with like probably like, I'm going to guess, like 3 dozen houses just around it. And that was it. It was just that and fields.
It was lovely. It was just lovely.
Yeah. And it was like raining. And what was so cool about the rain was all these houses had like really complicated irrigation infrastructure for their fields around. So it literally looked like Minecraft at times. It was so cool. And there were mountains in the background that were snow capped. Hopefully it comes through on camera, but I just thought it was like the coolest spot on earth.
Yeah. We try hard to front load it. We actually, when we sent it over to Wendover employee Amy Muller to take a look at the episode, one of her notes was, you have too many clips where Sam says that it's very beautiful where he is.
Yeah. Yeah. We had to cut it down.
Well, it is.
But yeah, I mean, we had a swell time over there. Like,
well, we can also now reveal.
Oh, this is where the lady tried to give us the umbrella. Yeah.
Yeah, we can reveal what we said. What did we say in spoilers the game about this? This was your entry for the most what moment?
For the most charming interaction with a local.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know about this.
So, I mean, Adam, do you want to explain what happened here?
Yeah, well, it was just very sweet. So we were in this little tiny town in the middle of nowhere, and it was starting to rain. And this sweet old Japanese woman came up to us, and she had this umbrella, and she tried so hard to give it to us. And we kept being like, no, we're fine. We're fine. We're going to get on a train soon. We have somewhere to stand. You know, I had a jacket. And she would not let up. Like, she tried so hard to give it to us. The best moment of it, though, was like somewhere after like a minute of this, like somewhere like deep in the back of her mind, she managed to pull the word gift in English out and was like, gift, gift. And we felt too bad because she didn't have a second umbrella. And we were like, we can't leave you in the rain. But it was very lovely. And also sort of thematically, and this, I don't know, Sam, if you know this. Well, I think we ended up leaving in a few clips of this. After I called Sam, mic'd up on his mic. So the way the mic packs work is there are two microphones that go to one receiver, and Sam had his plugged in. And there's a lot of footage of you filming yourself, like talking, and me, like there were parts where like you were in the little box and I was out of the little box. And so my microphone was hooked up.
I did see that after the fact, yeah.
Neither of us realized that. And you can hear on multiple occasions when that happens, me quietly singing the song from My Neighbor Totoro. because it was a real Totoro situation.
It was super like, Totoro vibes.
It was absolutely Totoro coded. So you can hear Sam, we only left in a few of these, but Sam being like, yeah, so like I'm thinking in terms of Scotty, like our strategy has to be delay. And you can just hear me like 100 feet away somewhere else, not realizing I'm being recorded, just going, Totoro, Totoro.
It all kind of goes together, though.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But yeah, I mean, we had a great time. And then also, I don't think this made it in, but like, we had a swell time, Sam, at Urasa Station waiting for the Shinkansen. I got a mocha, and it was served hot, which was really incredible because we were both quite cold at that point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a chilly one. But yeah, it was just like all around a delightful spot. And the train timings meant that we had like a decent amount of time to chill. Mm-hmm. So like, it doesn't really come through on camera that much, but it was just like a delightful, just getting dropped into the middle of just like unbelievably scenic Japanese nature in like rural area. By the time Adam caught up with me, the next train south was like not for like 45 minutes or something. So we were just like chilling. We got some snacks at Urasa Station. It was just a delightful little reprieve from all the chaoticness of the past couple days.
I feel like it was really a moment that solidified for me, like, I want to do more stuff like this when I travel. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is a place that like no random American tourist would end up at. But like, you know, you get on a train, you go up to a pretty area, you get on a regional line, you end up at Yairo Station in this beautiful little place. Like, I would have loved to have like been there for, you know, if I had been there traveling with like, you know, like my girlfriend or something on like a personal trip, we could have like had a picnic.
I'll say it here now. If you, the listener, goes to Japan, go to Urasa. It's only an hour from Tokyo on the Shinkansen. Just like wander around. It's delightful. Send me a photo, tag us on Twitter. I might give it a like. I'll say I am now the official tourism director for Urasa Station.
I'll say I'll definitely give it a like. If you go to Yairo Station, I'll retweet it. Ooh. I'll say that right now.
Every single person?
I will retweet the first five people who do it.
Wow. I might. We'll see. But like, I would just say, like, I would have wandered around more if it wasn't raining, but like, there are some shrines on Google Maps around there. I bet if you just went there and literally just wandered, you would have a delightful time. And the good news is if it starts raining, you'll probably get an umbrella.
But don't ask for it or steal it.
No, you should pay them.
I will say that I think that potentially, in sort of a spiritual sense, what if that lady was Totoro?
Kind of true.
What if that lady was sort of a forest spirit who is trying to protect us by giving us an umbrella? Now, I hope that that's not an insensitive thing to suggest that this Japanese woman was actually sort of a Japanese mythological spirit creature, but I mean it in a way that's nice and cool and not in a way that's bad and mean.
It was like dead in that area. Like, I don't know if I saw a single other human.
She came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's true. I have no idea where she appeared from, but this was kind of one of these moments where some production context. Scotty and Ben both independently had some audio issues once they arrived at, what was that place called?
Kofu.
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 Which I am gutted about.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
I only learned that this morning, and I am gutted.
Yeah.
You know, we ended up having to truncate this section certainly more than we would have liked, because it was ultimately very funny. I mean, all the towers, Scotty having to chase me sideways. It was a long chase.
Having to chase you sideways was brutal.
Brutal.
And Adam and I think you see this in the episode, but Adam and I are like
doing our Sports Center commentating.
We're sitting next to each other in the Shinkansen back, and we are like super tensely watching the tracker and like debating over the definition of like going directly to pizza acquisition and stuff like that.
I remember it was funny. We exported that section and you, Sam, you were like, we should have some VO that sort of is like commentating on it like it's a sporting event.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And actually, Sam, you're not going to believe it. This works out great. We actually did that live.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to get into. But like, I could not believe how fast Scotty was moving, because I was hustling. I was not meandering.
Well, it seemed like, Scotty, you really found the technique.
Well, yeah, I experimented with a couple different techniques, and I was trying very hard to really stick by the spirit of walk sideways. But when you're doing it for like a mile plus, it's a whole thing. So I tried a couple different things where like I had a crossover technique where I was crossing one foot over the other. And then there was also like clicking your heels together. And I think the crossover technique was the way to go. And then the question was, do you always cross over the same direction or do you alternate? And so I tried that a bit. And then it also depends which foot you have forward. So I was switching directions of like whether my right leg was forward or my left leg was forward. But no matter how I did it, it was really exhausting. And I feel like my full speed sideways walking run was about Ben's brisk walk pace, was the sense that I got.
Apparently.
The thing about Ben is that Ben sort of has two modes. He can either be sprinting or he can be walking.
I'm not a runner. I'm a sprinter.
It seems like sprinting is kind of a short distance type activity.
The sprinting, it sort of is like a video game character where, like, if any of you have played Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom, you'll have experienced the phenomenon.
Not spending my orbs on the stamina bar.
Right, where you can sprint for a certain amount of time, but then your stamina runs out and you have to walk until the stamina replenishes. And Ben's stamina lasts, I mean, Ben, what would you say, like, 30 to 45 seconds you can run and then you have to walk for a little bit?
I feel like it depends on the conditions, right?
It does depend on the conditions.
It's not far. Let's just put it that way. But the other problem I was running into here was there was this question, especially because we were playing the Pizza Tower in this kind of unconventional way where it was kind of like a trap, right? Where you would put it on top of someone and then they would have to go get pizza. As we were discussing, like the actual rules around what you have to go directly and get pizza necessarily meant. Because also it's like I was on my way back and this didn't really make the cut because, again, we truncated it. But it was like I stopped in like some 7-Elevens and stuff to see if they had pizza because I couldn't know for sure that I was going directly to the closest pizza to me. So like.
Right.
I was checking along my way, which made my route kind of unpredictable, which was ultimately good for me.
I was like swearing every time I saw you, it looked like you were taking evasive maneuvers. And I was going, God damn it, Ben. Like, I thought you were just taking me on a wild goose chase and kind of ignoring the fact that you needed to get pizza. And I was very frustrated by that point.
Well, no. I mean, basically what I was doing is I was working my way back towards the one place I knew had pizza because there was one place near the train station. But then I was like checking other places as I went. But then it turns out that place was closed and there was a Pizza Hut.
There was a Pizza Hut that was open where I was trying to put in a takeout order for you.
Yeah. So there was a Pizza Hut that was pretty close. But then I was like, I have to go. Like, I know that this Pizza Hut, because it's so close to this other pizza place, is the direct next spot. I have to take whatever the shortest route to that Pizza Hut is. And that was taking me directly towards where Scotty was coming for me, which I think was what ultimately screwed me. But I will say, to Scotty's credit, he had arguably caught me earlier.
That's what I was going to bring up, is that I had spotted you with my eyes at least twice before, but it was always way in the distance. And we had a maximum distance you had to be within.
Yeah, it was like 300 feet.
Which was hard to measure when you're running sideways. And you had to be on camera. It was such fleeting moments that I would catch glimpse of you right as you were like turning a corner. And I think you were catching glimpses of me.
I was.
Before I caught you, you had seen me at least a couple times.
It was very frightening because you were like a cryptid. I could see in the distance this like figure like shambling sideways and you were so much bigger than everyone else. So you really looked like this monster. And I was just like, I gotta go get pizza, but this Scotty's coming for me. That whole town kind of had like a bit of a spooky vibe to it. It was a very spooky chase.
I'll buy that.
Is what I would say.
And I was like trying very hard to like play this as above board as I could, both in terms of like making sure that I was walking sideways / running sideways / whatever I was doing. But also like if I was going to tag you, I wanted to make sure that it was like undeniable. I was really worried up until I saw the cut this morning. I wasn't actually sure that I had definitely gotten you on camera when I actually declared, okay, I think you're tagged now. I think I like called you or something and was like, okay, I think I've tagged you. And I wasn't 100% sure, but I was like pretty certain. And my backup justification was that I had spotted you at least twice before. And so surely this would count.
Yeah, no, it was definitely earned at that point, the catch. Yeah, for sure. I reviewed the footage and I think you could have said that you had caught me earlier, but
okay. Yeah, I just wanted to be really certain, so I was willing to. And I kind of figured that, like, as long as I didn't fall over dead, that I would eventually catch you.
Yeah, and I think the reason why this was so tense all around, including on Adam and I's side, was because we all understood, at least to a certain level, the stakes at this point.
The stakes were significant.
Yes, that we, on our side, had transported the flag through myself picking up and taking it to Urasa decently far, 40 miles or so.
Yeah, I believe 40.
And as a reminder, the implication of that is the fact that in a tiebreak scenario, in the scenario where we both only have one flag over the line, the decision is which team has transported the flag, transported a second flag, an additional flag, the furthest.
Yeah.
So we were in the lead, and I think I kind of want to leave it there.
Yeah.
Basically, that tag of Ben set ourselves up really well for the next episode.
I did make Ben try out his sideways walk / run. On our way back to the train station.
Yeah, we'll see it in the next episode.
Oh, we will. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
It was hard.
It is hard.
But yeah, that's mostly all to say. This sets ourselves up for pretty exciting episode 6.
The next episode, I am very much looking forward to.
Yeah. It's a fun one.
Yeah. I can't wait to see. Because again, like, I have only seen what I was present for. And I know there are a bunch of really exciting things in the next episode that I don't have full knowledge of.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a great one.
But we'll see you for that next Wednesday. Any parting words from anyone?
Walking sideways is hard.
Au revoir.
Yeah. Good exercise.
Great exercise.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.